A4.
Number 10, B.
The moment you spiritually hear and feel, you see, that sense of mind as cause, producer, origin, being the first, bringing everything forth, being the only basis, therefore being a powerful basis, a powerful cause, you can't help feeling that therefore this mind must be active, that there must be terrific action taking place, because we can't have a cause without action. It demands for action. And so one begins to see that mind is ever active and therefore is not just something that sits still, but that mind is constantly active. So we have the action of mind. Therefore we can see that every action that does not start with mind is a wrong action, is no true action. So that if we start from the human mind, from the human will, from human desires, from human aims, and try to act on that basis, that we have started the wrong way, that we have not started in reality, but in the realm of illusion. So that before we act, we really should see that the one mind, which is our mind, that the mind I have is the mind of Christ and is the same mind as God has, that alone is active, that it begins to operate in its own way. The moment you feel that mind is active, you have a sense that there is a power of manifestation, that things manifest themselves, so that mind manifests itself constantly as ideas, so that we don't have to beg mind to give us the ideas, that we don't have to beg mind to enlighten us, but that we just know that that is the inner and imminent nature of mind to manifest itself, to manifest itself naturally as ideas, to manifest itself as the all-knowing mind. Can you see? As the light of mind. Let there be light is the first day of creation, which says, all right, that power of mind which is active and is manifesting itself as what? As the all-knowing mind. That all-knowing mind that knows all, that comprehends all, that perceives all, that apprehends all, that foretells all, foresees all, that informs us of all, which is the great information. Can you hear that intelligence of that one mind? Therefore you have the intelligence of mind, teaching us at once that it says, don't think that intelligence is dependent on human creation, dependent on brain, that our intelligence is dependent on human education. There is a higher intelligence that knows much more than what the human brain knows. It's that which breaks in as the light of mind into our consciousness and acts as the true intelligence. Because, really, the wisdom of man is foolishness before God, and the wisdom of God is foolishness before man. So we can see that intelligence will give us a insight into being that is much bigger and much more correct than any other sense of intelligence. Therefore, that intelligence from the divine mind, emanating from the divine mind with all its power, is the only true influence under which we stand. We must see that we are not influenced by other powers, by thought power, by mesmeric power, by the world thought, by the world consciousness, that there is only one influence influencing us, and that's the power of the divine intelligence. And therefore, we can never suffer under that disease called influence or flu, which is from influence, because if our mind is at one with the divine mind, then we only stand under the influence of that divine mind. We can walk right through through people with all kinds of funny thoughts about us, hateful thoughts about us, whatever that is. It will not touch us in the slightest. All mesmeric thought, all malpracticing thought, don't touch us in the slightest, because we are in the in that wonderful flow and field of the attraction of mind, of the influence of mind, which is not mesmeric. Therefore, no one who has ever seen what mind is any more afraid that the thoughts of people can harm them. This is just old-time metaphysics and has really nothing to do with Christian Science. And all those who are afraid of malpractice, they haven't seen the first thing about Christian Science. Because if they would know something about the science of mind, they would see that they are constantly practiced by the divine mind. That the influence of the intelligence of mind would just flood them with the right ideas, with healthy ideas, with strong ideas, and therefore would guide them rightly. Mind guides and leads. It is that leads us always rightly, intelligently, leads us in a wise way. And so we have a feeling that influence that is pouring itself over every situation is the guiding and leading influence, and therefore will lead us wisely. So that we feel that mind is the divine will at work in every situation. So that we feel also that all human will, personal will, egotistic will, has no power, has no action, has no influence. You can go right back and just take this very beautiful sense of the will of mind and see that if mind is the only will, that therefore there is no other will that can be a creator of something wrong, that can be the producer of something wrong, that can be the cause of something wrong, that can be the origin of something wrong. You see, I go right through the... that can be the basis of something wrong, that can be a power of something wrong, that could be acting wrongly, that could manifest something wrong. You see, the whole thing falls flat. If you just stay with those ideas and see that they are interlocked, they are like links in a big chain, just one link linking to the next and bringing about the chain of that one mind. And because mind is the divine will, we can see that it is, that mind is the mandate, that which gives us the commandment what to do, and tells us what to do, and puts us under the commandment of the divine mind, and therefore acts as the divine law, the law of mind. And so I can see again, when I come to law, you just can now deduce from it and see that mind is fundamentally the only law. There is no other real law but the law of mind. Therefore, it tells us at once that any other law is not real. And when you see that any other law, be it laws of health, be it the human law, be it the material law, be it the law of heredity, or whatever it is, the law of astrology, you just can see that is not mind, and therefore it is actually not a law, and therefore you can go right back again to the whole list and can see, therefore, all these material laws or hereditary laws or whatever those false laws are not the creator. They can't create anything. They cannot produce anything good. They are not the cause of any good effect. They cannot bring forth a good effect. They are not the origin of something good. They are not the basis. They are not the power. And you can go right again through the whole list. Can you see how you can culture your consciousness within that whole tone of mind? And when we can see that is the law which naturally sets aside and annuls every false concept of other laws, then we see that mind is really saving and healing. That mind is the medicine of mind, she speaks, and shows that mind is the medicine. That if we administer, yes, the medicine of mind, the whole of mind, the one mind, we really administer the whole range of these ideas of mind. and see that in the treatment, really, in being conscious about that one mind, which is the mind of all, not only my mind, but it's the mind of the patient, it's the mind of the surrounding of that patient, it's the mind of the world, of the whole universe, that one mind, therefore, is just giving to the patient all what we have here as ideas of mind. Yes, that's a tone of mind. Could you get it? It is, though these terms seem to be, have to have no connection whatever as terms, one begins to see that when one thinks spiritually, they all flow into each other and begin slowly to form one big, round tone. We call them usually tone when we mean all together, the tone of mind. Yes. All right. So we go to spirit. So I quickly go through that list. The order in which I have put up that list is not essential, because they all these terms as ideas flow into each other. But for the beginning, it's quite helpful to have such a list. And now I try to give you again the tone of spirit. And in doing that, I want to show that that tone is so much different from that of mind, that that tone is bringing out a complete different aspect of the divine nature. And slowly you will see that spirit is only possible on the basis that mind precedes spirit, that we could not start really with spirit, but only with mind, because mind was the beginning, the first, the basis, the creator, the origin. And so we had to start with mind. But the moment we start with that all-knowing mind, the creator, we can see that a further step is necessary, that step of spirit which gives understanding. It gives the faculty of discerning. It is that line of demarcation which now is put up between the real and the unreal, and the very fact of being able to separate between mind and small mind, mind capitalized and mind small m. The moment I can do that, I have a kind of understanding which can separate between what is true and between what is untrue. So spirit is that term which now comes in and shows that that which has been seen as mind must be taken as our standpoint, our understanding, that on which we stand, and we can only have that understanding if we can separate rightly, divinely. It's the firmament of the second day that separates really the waters above from the waters beneath, that separate between reality and unreality. And by being able to choose the right, that's another tone of spirit, to choose the right, we get that strength that is able to oppose unreality, to get enough certainty and strength that helps us to stand on the right side, to stand on that side which we have chosen as being the side of the divine mind. If we see that, then we begin already to feel that the second synonymous term is the next step of the mind, after we have filled our consciousness with mind, and begin to see that now we have to take that standpoint of that divine mind and no more give in to the wrong sense of mind, to the human mind. And so we get the sense of understanding through that separation, which gives us the strength to withstand the opposing arguments. And you can feel spirit brings in the solution for dualism in that way. And by doing this, it leavens really every situation. Leavening means, the leaven of spirit means, that that which is wrong is slowly leavened so that the right is coming out, so that the right is pervading everything. And so we get the sense that spirit which blows wherever it listens is pervading everything, leavening everything, and says that spirit's will be done, and no other will be done. And in such a way, really, the dualistic sense within us is being slowly resolved so that the pure sense of things comes to birth, that the true idea comes to the front, that the true idea is brought forth. Spirit brings forth. Therefore, we call it also the birth of spirit. It is just showing that that which mind has presented first is now unfolding. Oh yes, I come to unfoldment. Is now unfolding, you see, and developing, is evolving. All that is spirit. So that by its unfoldment, it begins to bear fruit. It's the fruit of spirit that comes to the surface. So that little by little, really, everything happens according to the divine order. Unfoldment is order. Evolution is order. Order means that the unfoldment goes on step by step so that the true idea is brought to birth. This order of spirit brings about the purity of spirit. Through the separation which we had before, where spirit separates, and the process of unfoldment and development, the process of birth, the right coming to birth, the wrong leaving being left behind, we get the sense that finally the purity of spirit is brought forth. And the moment we have the purity of spirit, which means that it is not mixed up with foreign elements, that the moment that purity of spirit, where nothing has any more a taint of materiality or of dualism, but in that measure we get the true reflection. We can have no true reflection without purity, because reflection means that only the one and the only likeness is being considered. Therefore you have spirit is the likeness of God, brings forth only its own likeness through reflection. We bring not forth a deflection, but through reflection we bring forth the likeness, exactly like, so that there is no deflection, no counterfeit brought forth. And if that is the case, then we know that spirit is good, that it is free from evil, free from dualism, free from opposition, free from antithesis. In spirit you have always that, all that which has to do that there is only one good, one reality, one substance, the only. So you come to the climax of spirit as the only reality of being, showing because spirit separates and wipes out and pushes out everything that is not of like nature, because everything that is unlike God is separated by spirit from God, so that through that likeness only the good or reality is being shown as the only fact of being. And that reality, which is spiritual, is the only substance. It's the only thing on which to stand, substance, to stand on, and that substance. It isn't a substance of spirit, is really not an entity by se, per se. Substance means that you stand on the reality of being which is spiritual. And by standing on that reality of spirit, we have a substand, we have something to stand upon, that substance to stand upon, and so we find out that the substance of spirit is the only reality there is. So that one gets a sense that spirit as the only has as its main office to wipe out dualism, antithesis, opposition, antagonism, everything which has to do with two forces, with two contrary arguments or contrary contrarieties. All that is dissolved through the purity of spirit. Can you see the difference between mind and spirit? As long as we were thinking in terms of mind, we were building up the creative sense of things. We had all to do, who is the producer? What does cause something? What is the basis of something? And showing that mind is really the creator, and that he creates in an intelligent way according to law, and is leading and guiding thought rightly. Then spirit comes along and says, take mind as the only. That's the office of spirit. It says, take now that which you have learned in mind and say, this is the only. There is no dualism. There is nothing besides it. Make that firmament and divide that which you have seen in mind from everything that is unlike that mind. And so you have your likeness of mind and that spirit. So you have your reality of mind, which is spirit. So you have something to stand upon, substance, and that substance of mind is spirit. Can you see how spirit is that which purifies a situation, because it pushes out and wipes out everything that is opposed to the mind of God. And so mind and spirit just link together. And it is as if spirit would be nothing else but mind, but looked at from the point of view that mind is the only mind. Then you have spirit. Yes. So this is the tone that we get in spirit. A sense of separation, purification, leavening, all that needs to be leavened. Leavened all that is wrong, that is an antithesis, that is opposition, that is antagonistic, leavening and leavening until only one thing is left over, the only, namely the spiritual. All right.